This is your network of praise here at Warrior Leadership Summit 2018. And one of the first friends that I met when I was walking around on Monday is this bubbly, joy-filled, precious sister walked over to me and plops down at the table and goes, "Hi, I'm Caitlin. Who are you?" And I was like, "I like your style. I would love to get to know you a little bit. So tell us about you. Who are you?"
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I'm from the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico, and I'm 17 years old. I'm a little Navajo girl doing stuff for Jesus.
I love it. Now, you were telling me, is it your father or grandfather is a pastor? Who is...
Oh, well, my mom and my stepdad are pastors right now.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. And so you grew up with knowledge about Jesus, or did that come later in life? How did you come to know him?
Well, my parents were divorced when I was pretty young, and my dad's side, they were all very traditional. And the Navajo way tradition is major. On my mom's side, they were all Christian folks, so my mom didn't want me to know really anything about tradition, so she raised me under a church household. And my dad found Jesus for himself too, so
wow.
he raised me under that. But never once did I disrespect my grandpa for, because my grandpa is a medicine man. So never once did I disrespected him, you know, because the Bible says to love one another, and that's what we're commanded to do. So that's how I was raised, was to love them, even though they weren't living right, but you still gotta love them.
Yeah, exactly. So what is the experience like here at Warrior Leadership Summit? For somebody that hasn't attended, how would you explain what is this week and what does it do for those that attend?
After looking back from this week, I would have to say Warrior Leadership Summit is a sign of hope for Native America. Mm-hmm. It's a camp that really just shows the love of God. And once you come in, you know, you feel welcomed, you feel loved, you feel just... you feel like you matter. A Warrior Leadership Summit kind of just helps you kickstart your walk relationship with Jesus. There's hardly any camps around like this that's this major, but the sponsors for this camp truly do love Native America. And seeing, you know, the outlook of who all came to Christ, it's amazing because, you know, only God can do it, because some of the kids here, they come from broken homes, they come from hurting families, they come from alcohol abuse, drug abuse, the lowest you can think. But for them to accept Jesus, I mean, how can you not tell it's God?
That's true. For you, most Native Americans don't have your story as far as being raised in a Christian home that was okay and accepting of that. Were there challenges that brought to you growing up with your peers? I mean, how would you describe that to somebody who doesn't know the pressure that is to live for Jesus?
Well, I was raised under a Christian home, you know. It was very challenging at some points, very hard, because a lot of people, once they hear you're a follower of Jesus, they kind of put you on a pedestal expecting you to be perfect, but they don't realize that you're not Jesus. As my mom, as a pastor, it was very challenging, because many people thought, since you're a pastor's kid, you know, you got to live up to this standard, you got to do this, you'll always be volunteering. So they kind of expected you to throw your life away to follow their life. That's what they thought. But that's throughout that, you know, I kind of put on a religious outlook, you know, because I didn't really I was a pastor's kid. It was also, I kind of got depressed throughout the moment, you know. I wore a mask because I didn't know who to trust in my church, because they would always reflect it off of my parents.
Right.
So I never really told anyone my personal deep problems. I didn't really have no one to turn to besides my mom. I got depressed, and I kind of, you know, I believed in God, I believed in Jesus, but I was never so in love with him like how I am today. Just thinking about it, you know, coming from depression, coming from just And of course, when you're a teenager, you kind of have a little bit suicidal thoughts, and that kind of came into role once then and there. But overall, I knew I couldn't do it because of my little sister, because of my grandma, because I had people praying. It was very it's very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But once I found out my main purpose, once I found out the real reason is because of Jesus. The real reason is because you love Jesus, and you know that you don't know if anyone, I mean, your hunger is just to see Jesus move in mighty ways, you know. And once I started to help come with that mentality, it was, it's not about me. I got to be selfless. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about trying to, or having every opportunity to win souls back to God. It's all about that,
yeah.
You know, because without Jesus, without God, without the Jesus in general, I'm nothing.
Mm.
I'm just a little Navajo girl who's just playing sports, probably still depressed. You know, if it wasn't for Jesus who came into my life and showed me that someone like me matters and I have a purpose, and I'm called to preach the gospel, I'm called to minister to the brokenhearted, to the people who think that there's no hope, mm-hmm. You know. If it wasn't for him to show me and give me a taste of his presence, I would probably be in one of those graves, mm-hmm. Honestly. Because I can't see my life without him now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to think about my life without him, because like after being put up to so many trials and tribulations, like how the Bible says, it does get hard. But if I try to do it without God in me, I'm nothing, completely nothing. And I'm humble enough to say that,
mm-hmm.
because it's true. You know, not many leaders will admit that because they get caught into a Christian phase. I got to do this perfect, that perfect. But sometimes it's good just to kneel at the cross and be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing my mom always said was, always stay humble. She still tells me that every single day. You know, I'll tell her, I have this opportunity, I have this. Because back home, I don't really share my heart with anyone else besides my mom. And she always tell me, sweetie, be humble. Be humble. Mm-hmm. So what I got to say is, it's a challenge, but I'm in for the ride because I know I serve someone higher. And I also know that the enemy's trying to work at every single opportunity he gets as well, and we're supposed to be weapons against the enemy. We're warriors against God. And I mean, for my people, Native America, the Navajos, you know, a lot of people go through alcoholism, drug abuse, abuse in general. It's just, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get how people can just stand around and watch them.
Mm.
So
yeah, good point. So you were sharing with me the first day we had a conversation that in the past you have been part of the On Eagles Wings team that goes out for the Summer of Hope tour. So explain to us what that summer is like from your experience. I mean, we know in general they go to different reservations, go on the basketball court, share the gospel. What's the best part about that? What's the hardest part about that from your experience?
On Eagles Wings. OEW, I first started that when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
I was very young. I was the youngest one on the team.
Uh-huh.
And that was a phase that I started to have a fire for Jesus. You know, I started to get in my word more and everything. But when they asked me what my testimony was, I didn't really know what it was.
Uh-huh.
'Cause no one ever asked me that. No one ever asked me, you know, where did you come from? What was your life before Jesus? And I've never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
So the first summer, it was very interesting because I had to think about how good God was and where he did bring me from.
Right.
It opened my eyes to qualities that I didn't think I even had. It, like, brought qualities out of me that I didn't have. And it also birthed in new gifts in me and gave me, like, you know, boldness and courage. So the best part of that was probably being away from home, being away from family, being away from everyone. While you're traveling with a whole bunch of people you don't really know, you know. But it's crazy because by the end of the month, they're family.
Yeah.
And I gotta say the best part with that was just having every opportunity you got to share the gospel with someone across the country, because I didn't think there was another person that's almost exactly like me out across the country. But the thing is, I have Jesus and they don't. Mm-hmm. And I know where I'm going to go when I'm gone and they don't. Mm-hmm. And so the best part of all in Eagle's Wings was probably just to share the gospel. But most of all was I got to develop such a strong relationship with Jesus that no one can separate, you know, because they really encourage you, be in your word, be praying, be in your word, be praying, you know. And at first, you know, if everyone's just kind of like, it's all they say, but afterwards, it's a hunger. It's, I am going to read my Bible. I do want to see what God has been for me, you know. I have to pray because it's a lot of spiritual warfare across the reservations. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fighting. It's a lot of just being prepped, mm-hmm. you know. And when we're traveling, there's points where we sometimes everyone's just tired. They get grumpy, you know, because it's nonstop fighting the whole month of July. Mm-hmm. And that was my first experience of actually spiritual warfare almost every single day, about every single day. But it really did bring out God out of me so much bigger, and he just used me like never before. Like, I've never pictured myself across the country preaching to someone else, telling them about God. But probably the worst part would be to, a bad part about it would just, you know, after you start sharing with someone about the gospel and telling them Jesus loves them, and you pour your heart out and they pour their heart out to you, and, you know, it can go good and everything. Probably the most heartbreaking part I would ever say would be them not accepting Jesus yet. Mm. Mm-hmm. Because there's many points where I got my heart shattered from teenage girls who didn't want to accept Christ yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying yet because, you know, I just planted a seed and other people are going to water and everything. But just like that moment, you know, sometimes you get crushed. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember nights where I couldn't help but cry because of those girls, because my heart wasn't content and my spirit wasn't just peaceful yet, because they didn't accept Christ. Mm-hmm. So just those, you know, I would be crying, and to the point where I got to get alone with God for myself. And I have mentors on the team who really just pour into me. Mm-hmm. And they poured so much into me that I can't help but, like, thank them, because they did help me become who I am today in the past 3 years, because this will be my third year, you know. They taught me, like, they taught me just a lot. They taught me to just be very patient, and, you know, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt when they don't want to accept Christ yet, the other natives around, but you got to stay focused. You got to stay on your mission, you know. Mm-hmm. They taught me to be consistent, and they taught me to be determined. They taught me to just become someone who will just dig, and it's amazing. And also on that team, you know, I started to learn how to worship, because at my church I was kind of just being thrown behind the lead singer, you know. Mm-hmm. You'll sing sometime, you know, just stuff like that. But I knew it wasn't what God wanted. I knew there's something more. There's more. I wanted to be the person where I could make a difference.
Yeah.
And it just, when I came, they were like, you know, we need people to lead worship. And I started to sing just for myself and for God. And then they taught me how to lead. They taught me how to just dig into the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I can say is On Eagle's Wings has allowed me to taste the presence of God so much that I crave it now. And just the whole Ron Hutchcraft ministry, it really is working on Native America. Mm-hmm. Because before this, you know, I didn't hear about other really huge ministries like this on Native America in their heart. Mm-hmm. And after working behind WLS this year, I see that the family is very, their heart is truly for Native America. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never met people who just want to see amazing things.
Yeah.
Because across my reservation, we got revivals, we got tent revivals, we got all this, and it's just kind of, yeah, we'll do it and we leave and everything, but here they really, they love us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really believe that God just hand-led Ron to do it.
Yeah.
Because he won't say it for himself, but he did. God gave him a lot of opportunities, and he ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's someone I strive to be, so make a huge impact.
Yeah.
And so On Eagle's Wings has totally wrecked my life. Mm-hmm. It has allowed me to experience God's presence deeper. It has allowed me to be more bold for Jesus, and it also did open my eyes to the other people across the country on how bad they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And how I know now is someone has a more worse situation than I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was bad, you know, but someone across may be dealing with suicide at this moment, and it's just to give you a door to help save them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm mm-hmm. very blessed I got to do On Eagle's Wings.
Well, you are a beautiful young lady, and your smile just captured my heart the first day I met you, and I am so thankful for this time with you to just get to hear a little bit about your heart. Thank you for sharing your story and telling us how, through your experience, what you've experienced on the Eagle's Wings, how we can be praying, and we certainly will be out there on the road with the team this summer.